apologize. Something is not working on the line tonight. Just a moment. Good evening and welcome to the Tuesday night celebration of life. I think we're all set on the phone now. Thank you all for joining us. If you have any questions tonight and you're on the phone, please text to 541-941-9181. That's 801-541-9181. If you're online with us tonight, please go on the Ustream chat, and share with us your question. We'll be more than happy to address it. Thank you all for being with us tonight. It's good to be here. We always enjoy these conversations, and tonight's a very special night. If you're here for the first time, your timing couldn't be better. If you have not cycled all the way through this, this is the beginning of the process. If you've been through it again, this is your opportunity to go through it and take it to a deeper level. Wherever you are in the process, this is a special evening because this is where we start with quality number one. Quality number one. Sweetheart, would you grab one of the files over there, please? I would appreciate that. With just one of these right over here. Thank you. Yes, please. I'd like you to turn to your assessment, and as we're going through this process, if you could be close to a computer on these coaching sessions, it would be very helpful, or do a screen grab where you can do a color version of the assessment. That would be most helpful. As you look at it, you're going to have an opportunity to see that we're laying it out differently. It is now broken into the six qualities of an intentional creator. So as we go through this exercise in coaching sessions and in our group coaching here on Tuesday night, it's much easier to get to the bottom of the very measurements that we're discussing. We know that success depends on us intentionally creating. Intentional creation means we're going to make the choice to engage in life, to embrace principles, and to connect with and serve people, and to create value everywhere we go and with everyone we meet, and to enrich the world. That's our objective, to become an intentional creator. As we get ready to take on the first of the qualities, this one is entitled The Art of Connection. It involves six characteristics. I'd like to review those with you briefly, and then we're going to go into the principles. We are not in a race, just so you know. It's so important as we go through this that each one of these things settle in our heart and that we begin to practice them in our lives. It takes us about 10 weeks to get through all six of these qualities because we want to make sure that we're driving these principles deep into our lives. Interestingly, this is the one section that is generally the most clear in a person's assessment, with a couple exceptions, and I'll share those with you as we go through it. In the top left-hand side of your assessment report, and if you don't have your report with you, just write these six down as I walk through them. The first is entitled Empathy Intuition. M-E-M means to stand on someone's path. Can I stand on someone's path? Can I see their pricelessness and their uniqueness? Now, if this measurement starts to turn orange, it's just telling us we're suffering from a little bit of people fatigue. There may be things going on in our lives that would make us want to sometimes be maybe a little bit more reclusive, you know, given the option of going to a party with people we don't know, or curling up to a book and a warm fire and a cup of hot chocolate and a cool evening. The latter would be our choice. That's a possibility. There's also one that we'll want to explore, and that is we may have been in a relationship with another human being, and it's painful. We got hurt. And we may be just a little cautious. I'm not going to suggest we don't be cautious It's just that when we're being cautious, the very principles we're going to talk about tonight are hard to practice. So I'll give you some things tonight to help us deal with some of that caution so that we don't have to worry about us getting hurt, because in the true application of these principles, it will no longer be about us. We'll be focused on other people and providing service to them. So if that one's orange, be at peace right now. Just reflect. Gosh, has there been something that's happened to me that's created this pain, this just a little bit of reluctance? The second measurement or characteristic is respectful. Respectful is a measurement. It's a mathematical measurement. We're looking at a human being. I just want you to imagine a human being standing in front of you, or if there's one near you that's listening to this with you, just look at that person. We are now going to use our empathy and intuition and our visual, our eyes, to assess this person's value as a human being. And we're going to be looking at all of the external characteristics. This is physical appearance, possessions, accomplishments, contributions, talents, skills, all these personality, charisma, all these external pieces. Now, this one is out of balance about 92% of the time with those that are actively seeking abundance. There's a tendency to be just a little over-focused on those outward appearances. People are doing all they can, most people, all of us, to look okay. We may not feel okay, but everyone else sure looks okay. And the risks are that if they look okay and I don't feel okay, I may build what we would call a straw bridge between me and them. A straw bridge, obviously, is a bridge that won't support connection. We won't be able to approach them. It will collapse. We'll build a straw bridge. That's a possibility. Or I may look at them and create an expectation about how they'll perform based on how they look. If this one is orange, we're going to practice some things tonight and next week to assist us in getting past this outward appearance. Because it's just an outward appearance. Very few things are as they appear today. Just know that. You can take that to the bank. Very few things are as they appear. Number three, accepting. This measurement helps us to measure how accurately we can assess a person based on their belief systems. Now, if you would, just look straight ahead and pick an object. For me, it's the little green camera light right here in front of me. Now, if I were to look to my right, I'd have this little statue right here in my bookcase. If I look to my left, here's my sweetheart, Ramona. I'll just keep looking over here. This is a pleasant place to look. Now, if we're looking straight ahead, I want you to take your hands now, put them out here by the sides of your eyes, out here in your peripheral vision. Now, I've got them close to me. You can put them way out here. I just want you to see my hands if you're watching this on video. Just wiggle your fingers. Can you see your fingers out there on the sides? Yeah, we can see the whole spectrum. This is where we want to be. This is balanced. This is green or blue. Now, I'd like you to turn to the right and look at the object. I'm looking at the statue. When I'm looking at this statue, I cannot see Ramona. If this represented everything that's good about a person, I'd see all the good without a balance for some of the challenges. I could become naive, a Pollyanna, if that's all I'm seeing. Now, if I look to the other side, and I'm looking at Ramona, and she's gracious enough to play the bad part tonight, if these are all the problems with a person and I'm not balancing them with what's good, then I'm all going to see is what's wrong. The truth is, if we're looking in this direction, if this measurement's orange, then chances are we're going to look for and see what's wrong. Because the truth is, a person rarely lives up to 100% of what they profess to believe. So if we are turned in our thought processes to the left, that's what we're going to see. If we're to the right, that's what we're going to see. If we're balanced, hold your fingers out here again and wiggle them, we see the entire spectrum in balance. This becomes extremely important because if we get a red flag and we're balanced, we see the whole spectrum. We get this red flag over here that says warning, warning, warning. we know that we can trust the flag, the warning, because that's not where we're looking. If that's where we're looking, that's what we'll see. If we're not looking there, and it is pulling us over there, we go, ooh, then I need to be wise. I need to be wise. Now, many of you, just have some fun with this for a moment. Look over to the right-hand side of your assessment, first quadrant again. See if there's any orange or red. See if your thought processes about yourself are ever talking you out of your own intuition. How often have you received an intuition, then acted differently, only to find out that your intuition was dead accurate? It was absolutely appropriate. And you find yourself going, oh, if only I had listened. Well, it's time for us to stop that process. We're going to want to listen to our intuition. If this measurement accepting is orange, then we're going to want to start shifting it over, balancing it, so that we can start seeing both the good and the challenges, so that we can trust those red flags. Everybody have that one? So accepting. The next measurement is tolerant. These last three measurements are when something is attacking the person. In this case, what's attacking them is a belief system. They may have a belief that in a different socioeconomic kind of a background, or religious or political background, that we think could be dangerous. And there are people in the world that have those kind of beliefs that are dangerous. Can we see the risks? Can we see the risks? Some of you on the call tonight, if you look at tolerant, may have this one orange, and some may even have it red. We know that the further it goes from blue to green to orange to red, the more likely it's difficult for this thought process to be able to see the risks in someone with a different belief system. What that means is we may try to save underdogs who really don't want to be saved. We may give more and actually cause challenges in our own finances, our own emotions, our own strength, and not be appreciated. And eventually, we may have to say, I can't do this anymore, I'm going to stop. And the challenge will be that we get to be the bad guy. If there's anybody on the phone who's been saving underdogs, you're going to err on the side of saving someone versus trying to save someone versus being biased and prejudiced. I'd take trying to save them. However, there are some serious dangers in doing that, because we could exhaust our own ability financially, physically, and we may not really help them. We may not help them. So I want to be careful if that one's orange or red. The next measurement is just and fair. Now, just and fair is about boundaries. This is about poor performance. Someone is not performing up to speed. And what do we do? What do our thought processes want us to do? Is this one green or blue? Is it balanced? If it's not, if it's orange, this is the other one that's most commonly orange. There is a tendency. There's a tendency to talk ourselves out of confrontation. And we sometimes want to call it compassion. This isn't compassion. This is negativity that eventually creates challenges for us. Now, here's a question for you to explore. Is there anyone in your life, personal or professional, past or present, who was or is draining you? Feel that, draining me. Emotionally, spiritually, financially, physically, and it's just hard to confront them. They might be a relative. That makes it doubly difficult. How do we confront them without destroying our relationship? How do we confront them without creating more stress in the workplace? How do I say this? Well, I want everybody to take their left hand and hold a gunny sack. You're visual enough. Just pretend you got a gunny sack. And in your right hand, I want you to hold an infraction. This is something that someone's done that's offensive. And we're looking at that infraction. I just want you to hear this thought, if it's orange, going, oh, there's enough going on today. I just, you know, this isn't the day to be saying this, and I'm going to wait till later. And so we stick it in the gunny sack. Next time there's an infraction, we're looking at, I don't want to destroy the relationship. If I just showed up more patient, that would solve the problem. We stick in the gunny sack. And then the gunny sack, and then the gunny sack, and then the gunny sack. And pretty soon our gunny sack is full. And we take this gunny sack and we dump it. And the person says to us, what's the big deal? All I did was, because when we don't draw boundaries, we give tacit approval to behavior. We're communicating. That's okay. When it's not okay. We also know from experience, all of us, with orange measurements, we know that eventually we have to confront the behavior. If that's true, why not now? Chances are we'll be more delicate in the moment than we will be when we've got compounded challenges piled up in a gunny sack. So let us be just a little bit more clear. Empathy intuition is not about naive kindness. It is about accuracy. When we step into someone's world, empathy, we're standing on their path, looking through their eyes, we may discover things we don't like. We may discover they're a rattlesnake. Not often, but occasionally. And when you find a rattlesnake, you do not put the rattlesnake in your sleeping bag. Because rattlesnakes bite. That's what they do. You climb in, they'll bite you. Why'd he bite me? He bit you because he's a rattlesnake. That's what rattlesnakes do. So let us not be naive. Let us not try to get expediency by avoiding for the future, because eventually it will have to be addressed, and it's almost always addressed at the worst possible time. That's just how these things happen. Now, the last one is called compassion. Compassion is a compound. We've got compassion, passion meaning a willingness to suffer for something we love. Compassion, com means to suffer with someone. So can we suffer with someone? Can we step into their world? Can we see their challenges clearly? Can we help them feel understood? Can we show up in service to them? Compassion. If this measurement's orange, it's not am I or am I not compassionate. It's just asking, what's going on in your life? That's what I'd ask. What's going on in your life? This is so painful. Because it just suggests that occasionally, when you're not conscious, when you're tired, most of the time it's going to show up. When someone else is suffering, I may not see it unless it's more serious than my own suffering. Everybody got that? So, I've got a broken leg, they've got a blister on their toe. Get over the blister, I've got a broken leg. Well, these measurements are not about us. They're asking, can we see the blister? And compassion is saying, not when I've got a broken leg. And we now get to reprogram this to say, this is not about me. Even though I may be experiencing pain, this is about them. Can I see their challenge? Can I show up to serve them? Now I'll show you in a minute how to take some of that pain and use it constructively and productively to assist us in this connection. But those are the six measurements. Empathy, standing on someone's path. Respectful, we're valuing someone based on external appearances. Accepting, based on belief systems. Tolerant, based on belief systems that could be dangerous. Just and fair, their productivity. Challenges, can we draw proper boundaries and compassion? Can we suffer with someone that we love? These are the six characteristics that assist us in connecting with another human being, directly assist us. There are other thought processes in our assessment that will support us, such as having a healthy self-esteem. If our self-esteem is challenged, it can also get in the way. Is that all that noise we have about ourselves keeps us from being alert and conscious and aware of what another person may be addressing. That's why we start this discussion of connection with people with the word agape. Agape. Now, I had someone write to me today. I should probably look up on Facebook and give them attribution. I appreciate the comment. They had spent time in Greece and had studied the word agape, and the A in agape is the first letter in the Greek alphabet, and E is the last letter, so it's all-inclusive. I thought that was a wonderful insight. Agape in Greek means a heightened level of awareness. A heightened level of awareness. I step back from. We're actually practicing agape when we step back from our own thought processes and reflect on them. We're practicing agape when faced with a challenge, we dive in and take it on and learn the lesson and move forward. Just the opposite of agape would be resentful, frustrated, overwhelmed, angry. Agape, we take it on. We recognize it as part of life. We step back and can see. As Og says, I'm no longer fooled by the garments they wear. These are just opportunities in disguise. And someone says, that's a bunch of crap. It's a problem. Well, as if I get them and nobody else gets them. Og tells us to welcome these challenges. Welcome them. They're part of our life. It's just part of being on this planet Earth. And so if they're part of it, he's saying embrace it. Look for it. Expect it. Take it on when it happens. It's a very high level of agape. Agape love also says, let's rise above our challenge and become aware of how other people are responding. What is their reaction? What are they seeing? Because as I rise above this and I choose to show up in my challenge in a way that inspires everyone else, this is a great gift for us. And third, as I go through this experience, I will learn things that will assist me in better understanding what another person is experiencing. We're going to talk about how to do this for a few moments, but I want you to imagine this, a heightened level of awareness. I show up with another person, and I choose to listen from a heightened level of awareness, born of my own life experience, and I listen. I hear things other people may not hear. I ask questions other people may not ask. That is the highest level of agape love. And that's where we're going to want to spend the rest of our time this evening, is learning how to master agape love. So let's start with a couple basic principles. One starts with, what do we do with all of these things from our past, all these painful experiences that we've had in our life? Those which seem to be dragging us down. I gave a speech in Coronado this last January that I've asked them to put up on the Og Mandino channel. Should be up in a couple of days. A really cogent and pithy explanation of the Chicago dream. You get an opportunity, you may go on to the Og Mandino channel and check this out. Now, there's also going to be a lot of videos from Og, some other speeches, the Daily Dose of Og, some fun things on that channel if you want to spend a little time there. Bottom line is this. We are all dragging around a sack. The sack is packed full of all of these things that have happened in our life. Now, these are the most painful ones. You know, the others we kind of get, they're not a big deal, but these are the big deals. These are the things that have been done to us. Some of the real painful ones are things we may have done to someone else we feel guilt about or shame. These are failures, discouragements, inabilities, all kinds of dialogue about what we are or are not dragging around in this sack. It's uncomfortable. It's painful. As one person shared with me today in an email, they said they weren't even aware of just how much they're dragging around in the sack. They become so unconscious to this stress until they started paying attention to it. They didn't realize how much it had been exhausting them. They were just exhausted from it, didn't even realize the exhaustion that came from dragging this sack around. It's also interesting that when you read the Chicago Dream in the material, listen to the material, read it, or read it in the new book. It's on page 67 or 68, the Chicago Dream. interesting to me as I reflect on the metaphor that it's behind us. It's behind us. It is in the past. However, we have a tendency to press forward. We're still dragging our past behind us. Some people like us to think that we can just throw it away and forget it and not deal with it. There's no such thing. We can release the guilt and the shame. If you're a Christian, for example, you would put that at the feet of Jesus. However, the memory doesn't go away. It just doesn't go away. And when we try to get rid of the memory, we actually begin to shut off part of our memory. Some people say, oh, I can't remember anything about my childhood. Not because we've taken the bad parts and tried to shut them off. We've just shut off our memory. We've lost it. Well, I want to give you a different option. Somewhat of a sensitive option. It's the greatest secret of success in all ventures. It's going to require a lot of courage. And the option is pretty simple. Empty your sack. Now, if there are things in that sack you can't look at, you may need some therapeutic assistance. But if you're ready to look, just take a look. Just pick something up from the sack. Well, I could look at right now losing millions of dollars in 1988 and 89. Ouch. I could wallow in driving away from the house and bawling while Ramona's there pulling out with all the kids and, you know, selling a couple of treasures off the back of the truck, things I wrote about in the book. I told you all about this. I could just wallow in this and just feel sorry for myself. Or I can take this experience and ask, is anyone else suffering from a similar wound? Yeah, of course. Okay. Well, I can either keep lamenting this, being hurt by it, being resentful, resistant, frustrated, overwhelmed, angry, or I can take this experience and engrave it on my heart. What that means is it slides into my heart. It fills my heart with compassion, with empathy. I can use it as a lens through which to see another person. It becomes my awareness, my agape, my heightened level of awareness, through which I can more clearly understand what somebody else is experiencing. Now that which has been a burden, I've been dragging it around behind me, I've been feeling guilt, where I feel bad about what I've done, shame, bad about who I am, resentment, anger, frustration, overwhelm, and I say, wow, somebody else feeling this? Yeah. But over here, and now, instead of dragging it behind me as a burden, I'm using it as a lens through which I see another person. It helps me listen differently. It helps me to hear subtle things in that conversation that other people aren't picking up. And I hear them because of this awareness. Oh, I've been there. I know what that feels like. It will cause us to ask questions other people may never ask. Again, because we have been there. This is the gift. As I learned in the Chicago Dream, my character, your character, has been forged in the furnace of adversity. You know what pain feels like? You've been dragging it around for a lifetime. Now, you can't take back the past. It's the past. However, you can choose to take those experiences and use them as a rich resource, a tool by which you can hear another person differently, be prompted to ask different questions. Should you choose to use it this way, not wallow in it, not be a victim of it, but use it in the service of another person. If you do this, there can finally be purpose in what happened. Again, it's not that happened so I could. It's happened and I can't change that. But I can change the way I use it. I can use it to better understand what another person is experiencing. And there can finally be some purpose, some good that can come out of it. I can also find joy in my journey because as I do this, people's walls come down. Cooperation floods out. Wow, that feels good. And as a result, there starts to become healing in my soul, in your soul. That's a great gift that comes from making this shift. Now, it's hard to make this shift because many of us are still hanging on to stuff in that sack. It's become our safety net. It's become our excuse. If I let this go, on what will I blame any failure in the future? Well, the reason why I failed is because. That's our excuse. If I let go of all of my past, I let go of all of my excuses. Yes, you do. If I let go of my past and I wear it in my heart and I'm whole and healthy and showing up in the service of another, how will anybody ever know how much pain I've suffered? How difficult it's been, the sacrifices I've made, how hard I've worked. How will anybody ever know that? Well, sad truth. Nobody cares. It's not they don't want to. They're just expending all the energy they have, dragging around their sack and trying to look okay. It's very little left. They look like they're okay. This is one of the great reasons why that respectful measurement we talked about a few moments ago, where everybody looks okay and we're buying into it. If we have any victim in us, and all of us do, I know I have some in me, Ramona could attest to this. It shows up every once in a while. If I've got victim in me and everybody looks okay, and I want them to understand me, I want them to appreciate me, I'll drain what little energy they've got left. Leave everybody empty. And because they look like they've got a reserve, and they're not giving it to me, then I could become resentful. Become resentful. This is a great discovery. Because nothing is as it appears. We might got a little from them, received a little, and it may be all they had. We may have left them absolutely, totally empty. Victims often say, but I'm giving all the time. I'm serving all the time. I've got an empty cup. Just know this. If those things are happening for you, and I can speak boldly about this. This has been a challenge for me to let go of. When we're in that space, we're making it about us. We're giving with strings. We're giving with strings attached. And when we don't get as a result of our giving, it's draining. We give to get, give to get. We're not getting, and we keep giving and giving and giving. It's not the giving that wears us out. It's in the not receiving it back. That's what leaves us empty. We want to do this differently. The invitation tonight is to take it out of your sack, take it out of the victimhood. Anybody else suffering from a similar wound? Yep. Put it in my heart. Show up now listening to another person. Because if I will do this, I'll walk you through in the next little bit, and next week, if necessary, walls come down. And when a person's walls come down, a huge reserve of cooperation floods out. It's like a dam holding back water. Wall comes down, the water just rushes over us. We're the one enveloped in the water, in the cooperation, the productivity. This is what fills our cup. This is the joy. It's so joyful to be in that space. And that begins to heal our soul. So if there's any victim energy, the invitation tonight is to ask, what do I get from this? So I know when I go to that space, I do nothing but make everybody sick and tired. I really am not getting what I'm hoping to get. I get what I'm hoping to get when I wear that experience on my heart and show up with this heightened awareness of what it's like to listen, hear, and ask questions. We all have walls. Just like the sun comes up in the morning and goes down in the evening, we all have walls. The only place where I've seen, and we were on a call a moment ago, where there was a doctor on the line, That's the only time when there aren't walls. When there's a doctor in that position of authority and a patient who's totally subservient, so to speak, to that person in a position of authority, it's not a wall. But almost all the rest of us are dealing with walls all the time. And if, and it's been measured, Robert S. Hartman measured it, who did the mathematics for our assessment, on average a person holds back 40% of their cooperation and productivity, and the measurement was done in a non-adversarial relationship. That's husband and wife, they love each other. This is committed companions. This is dear friends. This is when there's only 40%. When we're trying to enroll someone, sell someone, convince somebody, that wall goes up and the reserve is even more significant. If we know this, we know why it's futile to throw up on a wall. Blah, blah, you know, it splashes back, tastes awful. It's called rejection. Or we take that sledgehammer and we try to beat it down. You know, muscle can split a shield and even destroy life. But only the unseen power of love, agape, this awareness, only this opens the heart. Until I master this art, I'm no more than a peddler in the marketplace. And for heaven's sake, we don't want to engage in strategic conversations. Those are the kind where we have an agenda, we want to pretend like we don't have an agenda, and we're listening, but we're waiting just for a crack in the conversation to jump on them like a fox on a mouse, just to pounce. That's really an uncomfortable way of having a conversation. So let's take it on and let's learn some principles. The principles are called intrinsic validation. We're going to validate a person at their deepest, richest level. We're going to understand them. It's going to help them feel valued. And when a person feels valued, they no longer need walls. Og says, I'll tear down these walls of hate and suspicion, which they built around their hearts. And in its place, I will build a bridge so that my love, my agape, my awareness can enter their soul. So intrinsic validation, first principle. We're going to start looking for the good. A client said something the other day that I thought was just darling. She's an instructor during the day. Works for the state. She was traveled a couple of miles to give a class. She'd been listening to the scrolls on the way up. She was in a great space. She walked in. She was talking to someone in preparation. She happens to be a network marketer, part-time business. She's talking to this person, and she's practicing this principle, looking for what's important. And she notices something she wouldn't have noticed before. She'd been preoccupied. I've got to get this class taught. I need to drive home, get this rental car back in time so I'm not charged for 2 days. There's been a million other things on her mind, but she's focused on the people, looking for what's important to them. And she notices this lady's wearing a cast boot, one of her feet. And she said, your shoes don't match. Isn't that cute? Isn't that perfect observation? Your shoes don't match. And she went on to tell her about what was happening, and as she was listening, a door opened, verbal hint. She stepped through the door. Well, tell me more about that. And she did. Well, tell me more about that. What happened then? When an empathetic question came to the surface, she asked it. Well, when that happens, does this ever happen to you? Oh, yeah. So she got into a wonderful conversation. She's got a new client for her business. Kind of client for her business. It was natural, authentic, comfortable. Conversation continued to lunch and after work. This is the way it's supposed to happen, these kinds of natural conversations. So this week we're going to start looking for what is important to others. Now here's a clue. It'll most likely be unimportant to you. I'm just having this pounding thought process. It just keeps going bang, bang, bang. Someone's saying, I know. I've been through this. Well, I want to smile and just talk right through the phone line to you and see if I can get into your heart and stir you just a little bit. This isn't about knowing. This is really about doing. This is about being this person who notices. We'll do it at first with awareness, but we eventually want to become this person who very naturally is noticing other people, conscious in the moment, with another human being. new level of awareness and a new level of commitment today. Let us step into this person's world. That's what's important. Lots of examples in the book and in the material. We do this piece, something's going to be said or done. A door's going to open. We're going to hear a verbal hint. And we're going to step through. Tell me more about that. Share with me what you're thinking. I'm listening. Here's the truth. We live in a world where almost everybody's preoccupied with their own story. Very few gifted listeners. And we're going to make the choice this week to become one of them. I mean, when was the last time someone cared enough about you to listen? Until you felt understood. They didn't try to fix you. They just understood. When's the last time that happened? It's really rare. And we want to become the rare ones this week. We want to become the listeners. Now, I've shared this with you before, and I'm smiling because I just know this is a... I get out of this habit. If I'm tired, and Ramona knows sometimes, when we've been going for 14 days in a row, and Sundays are church, but they're just as busy, and we're exhausted, and, you know, I'm sitting on an airplane, I'll often put her next to the person somehow or something. I don't want to talk to anyone. I'm tired. And I know in those moments I miss great opportunities. I just do. So I know where we go. Our invitation is for all of us to be a little bit more conscious. Maybe we need more rest so we've got more energy to do it. But let us be more conscious so that we can hear these little verbal hints. Some of them are very subtle. And there aren't very many listeners, but this we know. The walls have never been so high. People have never been so skeptical. But the walls have never been so thin. That when there is an indication that we are safe, even the littlest indication, we're watching those walls come down very quickly, and people say, I've never told anybody this before, but, and they begin to share with us. This week, this is what I want you to practice. I want you to practice looking for what's important to someone. I want you to go back to Og Mandino's scroll. Grab my book here. Scroll number 2. My back cover fell off. Scroll number 2. When Og says, and how will I confront those with whom I come in contact? In only one way, silent to myself, I will say, I love you. It's an important piece. And he goes on to say, though spoken in silence, these words will shine in my eyes, unwrinkle my brow, bring a smile to my lips, and echo in my voice, and his heart will be opened. And who is there who will say nay to my goods when his heart feels my love? Feels my love. This is a discussion around the mirror neurons. We know that when we approach a person, that their fight or flight center, their amygdala, has an overabundance of mirror neurons. They're activated from the optic center directly back to the amygdala. A person can actually be blind, not see visually, and still have an active connection. They call it affective blindness. Someone can feel a person, even though they can't see the picture, because their amygdala is still picking up the information. The mirror neurons in the amygdala are picking up the information. They're firing at twice the speed of a normal neuron. They're communicating a message to the brain. The brain is releasing molecules into the body. And they're having a physical feeling. They're feeling. We show up, and we're saying silent to ourselves, I love you. It's written all over my face. It's in the tone of my voice. It's in my body posture. Everything that's being picked up by a mirror neuron. And a person feels at peace because the molecules released into their body say he's safe. They are attracted to us. This is the law of attraction. I know we've heard a lot of stuff about the law of attraction, but this is the law of attraction. A person is attracted to us. If we show up trying to fake it till we make it, pretending we're not nervous when we are, pretending that we care when we don't. The person's consciousness may not pick this up, but their mirror neurons will. There are 200 sets of muscles on our face. Our thoughts will leak out on our face, and those mirror neurons will pick it up, release chemicals into their body, and they will have a feeling before they have a conscious thought. And it may be that we repel instead of attract. So let us practice scroll number 2 this week. If you find yourself, when you go say silently to yourself, I love you, if you discover what I discovered, that I was very judgmental, and we want to let go of judgment, we just keep saying, silent to myself, I love you. Silent to myself, I love you. Silently into myself, I love you. And we start showing up, you'll find people attracted to you. Conversations will be richer, deeper, more exciting. So let's practice this principle this week. If you're having trouble with judgment, then play red flags, green flags. Red flags, green flags simply means you're going to look for the green flags this week only. Red flags mean everything that's wrong with a person, every time they don't keep a commitment or they don't do the job correctly, versus a green flag, noticing what's important to them. And every time they do something, even if it's expected, we acknowledge it. We see it, we verbalize it. We see it, we verbalize it. We are conditioning ourselves, along with silently to myself, I love you, to have our energy, our facial expressions, our body posture and voice tone to show up in such a way that we will send a message to a mirror neuron that will cause the release of a molecule that will have a person feel attracted to this conversation. That's simple. I want you to stay in this space. Now, again, when you hear that verbal hint, that door opens and you hear it, to step in. Say, I love you. Now, I think almost everybody on this phone should have a copy of the book. If you don't, jump on to ogmandino.com and pick one up. It's $20 with a CD of Og narrating the 10 scrolls. And let's read this section on art of connection and preparation for next week. Because next week, we're going to go from, okay, I've taken my stuff out of my sack. I've got it in my heart. I'm listening differently. Someone finishes talking, 1-1000, 2-1000, creating a safe place. I am safe. I'm not going to pounce on them. I'm not going to try to fix them. I'm not going to try to recruit them. I'm just listening. A safe place. So they can let the walls down and we can have a conversation. Now as that conversation starts to unfold, we'll go into next week about how to keep it in context, how to deal with caustic comments, how to speed it up even if you want to. And then, when it's the right time, if there's something we discover that would be appropriate to share, we can share it. And how do we share it? And how do we gain agreement to share? What happens if we get an objection? What do we do with an objection? How do we get someone to take the next step if we have a product or service that we want to present? How do we get them to take the next step and begin taking action? That's where we're going to go next week. But let's practice this. And again, if you've been here before, can we just take this one on at a new level? I was just feeling the same energy tonight that I had at the 22nd day of studying the scrolls for the first time. When I got to this part about silent to myself, I'll say, I love you. I just remember the energy. Come on. It's like, give me something profound. I've done few things more profound. Few things more profound. And every time I do it, I'm reminded of just how judgmental I can be if I'm not consciously focused on loving someone. So take these principles absolutely inside your heart. Just know we're all a little stubborn and resistant. And let's take them to a whole nother level this week and start to find the joy that can really come by letting go of resistance and resentment. And truly showing up in the service of another person. Look forward to being back with you next Tuesday night as we talk about the second half of intrinsic validation and learn to apply the principles